Grace and peace to each one as we're gathered here today. I didn't know exactly how to take it. Brother Michael mentioned something about the auction bringing us in here, and that's correct. I find myself having felt as though I could just as well as not be sitting back there and let someone else speak today. But, you know, the Lord has called, and we want to do our part in being what He would have us be. I don't know how many people are here today. Is that correct back there? The attendance 54 today or not, but it doesn't matter. I see several individuals here. We see sisters, we see brethren, we see boys, we see girls. And each one of us has brought something that we can't see. And that particular item has been mentioned. Michael mentioned it in his prayer just now. And I guess that's something I had in mind to speak about. I don't know what comes to your mind. There's several things that we have brought with us that other people don't really see that we know they have. But what I was thinking about is our heart. Every one of us has a heart. And the focus and the desire that God has had from the beginning of time was to get to your heart. And He wasn't talking about this heart that pumps your blood through your veins. He's talking about the seat of your being, your spirit. That's been the object that God has had from the beginning of time. And He has had ways of working with that. And he has spoken about in the Word of God, we read about hard hearts. We read about fleshly hearts. And so I didn't study a lot in that particular way. Maybe there's more ways of having in a physical description, but then we can also read of a pure heart, and we can read of hearts that are not pure. I don't know exactly what the best method would be to come across to you as an individual, whoever you might be, concerning your heart. But I trust the Lord as we are sincere with our profession. I look across this group here, and I just trust that pretty much each one of us, at least those that have come to years of understanding what the will of God is and acknowledge their own need of Him, will understand what I'm saying. But as we open our heart, as we open our inner being to the Spirit of God speaking to us, we have things that happen exactly as we had in our... Nathan mentioned this morning in his devotional, I understood him to say that he has become aware of some things, some areas in his heart that need some attention. That's great. That's nothing to be ashamed about. We need to open our hearts because there's another description about the heart in Jeremiah, I think. It is desperately wicked. Above all things, it's desperately wicked. Deceitful. I was trying to get that word. is deceitful above all. That's the first thing it mentioned, is deceitfully above all and desperately wicked. That's the way our heart is from its own self. Our inner being, what we're talking about, our heart, that our inner self is deceitful. That's the first thing it does, is it's deceitful above all. It says above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then I think, if I didn't look that up, but I think we can read there, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. I know what's in there. And it is so impressing to me at times when I really think about it, that heart that God can know, it doesn't matter, is it a fleshly heart or is it a hard heart? He knows what's in there. And in spite of knowing what's in there, He lets the choice up to you. He lets the choice up to me of how we are going to respond to His working and how we are going to respond to the knowledge and the understanding that He has given us. He leaves that choice up to you and I. He's not going to come down here and physically place you and make you do something. That choice is yours and it's mine. Do we really get the concept of that? I brought a few things along this morning. I don't know if everyone can really see this. Had a question already. If I've got an object lesson in mind, if I want to bring it here. And I find that to sometimes help. But as we think about our heart, as we think of what goes on there, you know, as a young child, I didn't really, you know, I was always taught from the time I can remember of right and wrong. And I didn't realize it as much as a young individual as I do now. And it will probably grow more on me. But, you know, I was taught right from wrong by parents that were still developing themselves. I know the young people look up to the older people as those that have the answers. And I take the position that, yes, typically they have more answers than the young people, because not because of their intelligence, not because of their smartness, but because of their experience and because of their seriousness about life. They've taken inventory on what has happened in their life, and so they do have more. But we're still in a developmental stage. We're still growing. We still find chambers in our heart, Brother Nathan, even though you feel like some of these older people probably have it all together. We're developing just like you are. The Apostle Peter, I'd like to turn to that scripture. I was just reminded of that. And the understanding, Michael made mention of our understanding growing and developing. And I think that's something that is very true. 2 Peter, the first chapter. Where Peter is speaking about this voice in verse 18, he says, "This voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him on the holy mount." That's speaking about the transfiguration. And he says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth into in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." James mentioned in the Sunday school hour, he mentioned something about being able to look back in his life and realizing how his life was and what he understood. I don't know, was he talking about last year, last week, or was he talking about 10 years ago or 20 years ago? It really doesn't matter. But he could tell a difference. Can you tell a difference in your spiritual life? Are you growing closer to the Lord? Do you become more enthused? Does your heart Do things, is there a day star? You know, this morning, if we would have been out and watching, you would have seen, I don't know exactly what time, but there would have been a time this morning when you have been able to go out and you would have seen, low on the horizon, there would be a little glow there. And in a matter of, I don't know, maybe an hour, hour and a half, you would have seen this, it would have been lighting up and lighting up and lighting up until the whole sky was all lighted up. And then there's this little bright spot. And as you watch that bright spot, you start looking around you and you see there's light rays going all over. And you can see, you can understand. It took time, it took a process. I think our understanding works that way. There is no disgrace in not understanding if we're not deliberately refusing to believe. I don't think there is a disgrace in not knowing something because you can't help with not knowing it. But once we know it and we refuse to believe, I think that's when we become slow of heart. Now, I understand these two that were going to Emmaus, they didn't understand. It's such a good example for us. We don't, oftentimes, we encounter things in life and we wonder. We try to figure it out. But there's times when we wait, there's times when we move. And the Spirit of God, as we open our hearts to Him and are willing to do whatever He asks of us, we can be a shining light. We can have that. We can be a mirror. As that day star rises in our hearts, it actually lights up for others. And I would like to.
You see these four little bottles. If you were to think you were thirsty, which one would you drink out of? The one all the way on this side. I don't have your name. One teen boy there. Yeah, Kenny, you're right. You told me this morning. Would you do the same, or would you drink out of one of the others? Is anyone else that would disagree, would rather drink out of one of the others? Okay, so we've got the unanimous vote on that. What is the reason that you would pick this? I'll ask you two again. That you would pick this over the others? Nathan, you first.
That's the clearest.
That's the clearest. Okay. Is that your thought, Kenny? It's the clearest. Is it clearer than this one? What do you think, Kenny? Just a little bit, you said. How do you think, Kenny?
Fairly
similar. What do you think now? Do they still look similar or not? Okay. All right. Which would gross you out the most? I'll hold this up so you can see it. Of the four, which would gross you out the most? Hard question. One of the two on that end. What do you think, Kane?
Probably one on the left.
One all the way to your left would gross you out the most.
you know, make you feel bad. Trying to make the point. Okay, let's consider these as four hearts. I'd like to turn to Psalm 24, where it speaks there, the first verse in Psalm 24, verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof." The world and they that dwell therein. Where do we dwell? Brother Ralph, if you considered dwelling somewhere, where would we be dwelling? Just a general statement. Do we dwell on the earth or do we dwell somewhere else? We dwell on the earth. So the earth, that's talking about where we're at here, the earth. Okay, so we are the Lord's, regardless how we want to look at it. We're His possession. We don't even own ourselves. So let's keep that in mind. Isn't it intriguing that we are owned by God? We will not decide. Yeah, there's people that take their own life. I'm not talking about that. But we don't even decide when we die. We dwell on the earth till the Lord says it's enough. At His choosing. But we can believe that or we can disbelieve that. This God that actually created us has given us the choice about how we respond. And it has to do with our heart. It has to do with our inner being. What comes out, you know, Jesus said, the things that defile a man, the first thing he mentions is our thoughts. That's part of our heart that we're talking about. "For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods." Then he asks a question. This verse here is the one that actually brought me to this scripture. "Who shall ascend into the holy hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place?" Now he's talking about a hill and he's talking about a holy place. In the Old Testament times, when they did sacrifices, oftentimes they found a high spot. I don't really know that I have an explanation for that, except there's various things you could take out of that, but that's what they did. A hill and a holy place. And then it says, verse 4, "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity." There he brings his soul in with the heart. I think he's talking about our inner being. "Nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." So, now we can, I'm just going to tell you a little bit about these four hearts here. This is actually simply water, purified water. I said purified water. That's you know, our heart, as we give our heart to the Lord, we don't have a pure heart naturally. Our natural inclinations are evil, deceitful above all, and desperate and wicked. So we need help from day one. However, our understanding opens up. This one here, you could drink this and it wouldn't really hurt you. It's simply a little bit of Fountain County, Indiana mud that I took off one of the bumpers. You could drink this and it wouldn't hurt you. And yeah, we wouldn't drink it. I know. I see that on your faces. But it really wouldn't hurt you. This one here would actually help you. It would actually benefit you to drink this here because it's tea. Tea leaves. This one here, you would probably spit it out just as soon as you taste it because there's two full teaspoons of salt. So now, I'm not going to have time to go through this thoroughly. We're by the grace of God, we want to hit the high spots and let you go through this week and however long you want to take at it to study about what it all implies, you know, what's going on in our hearts. I have actually decided, you know, sometimes we have these thoughts and these things going on in our heart that they do have a little benefit, but they really clutter up our heart. And I basically dubbed that to this one right here. You know, those tea leaves, I drink a lot of tea, but I usually don't drink the leaves. You could, I guess. But it's a lot better in my mind if you drink it clear. I mean, with just the brewed tea in it. Is our heart that way at times? It's just got a lot of clutter in it, and I'm going to include myself with everyone here. You know, we have these phones, and I'm not going to get into that, but we can get a lot of clutter off of them things that is not necessary. Do we discipline ourselves? My phone does the same thing. I'm not excluding myself from anyone. Do I take a deliberate position and eliminate it? Is my heart open for the Lord to notify my inner being about things that are just cluttering up my heart that aren't beneficial there? And included with that one here, this mud. I know, like I said, you could drink this and it really wouldn't kill you. But it's dirty. It's messy. I don't think anyone in here would want to drink it because of what's included in that water. The water source in itself is all the same in each bottle. What's going on in my heart? Is there some mud there? Is there some things that come out of the gutter? Is there some things, you know, we can think things. You know, Jesus said evil thoughts were the first thing that he says that defile a man, an individual. That becomes mud in our hearts. And it becomes unappealing. What is our testimony? You know, our hearts cause us to leave a testimony. And this one here, sometimes we get some evil intentions. We get some desire for revenge. We get some desire to even the score. And I've studied about that a little bit. And within ourselves, our carnal nature, each one of us, if we would just let ourselves go and things don't go well, and there's a relationship problem somewhere, if we just let ourselves go, we will, every one of us, turn into being a murderer because we would like to eliminate people out of our way. And there's much more that we could include with that. But the point is, that goes on in my heart sometimes, and I don't even really recognize what's happening, and it's making my heart sour. It's making it distasteful. And the Lord is, it's no good. There's another thing, I'm just now reminded. I've got a little plastic. These little bottles have lots of holes in the top, so I took a little plastic and tied that over the top and tightened that down. And this bottle here, there's salt right up here on the side, and I cleaned it off several times. That's what wickedness and iniquity and that deceitful above all things, it just keeps coming out. You can't put a cap on it and keep it in there. You can't do it. And I've got it on my hands. Individuals that have things to do with a heart like that, we'll get it on them. I think that's one of the reasons why the Bible says abstain from all appearance of evil, because it will get on you. You become as those you are around. You're in the influence of each one. I would just like to encourage each one that we can have hearts that uplift people because of our openness to receive the power to uplift others, and not be something that just people would rather brush off. All right, there's four things that take place. I just named four. You could probably include more, but I'd like to turn to Hebrews 12, where he says there, follow peace with all men. And then he says, holiness. Because he says, without which no man shall see the Lord. Verse 14 in chapter 12 of Hebrews. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Holiness. Now we mentioned, I think, wasn't that in Psalms 24 where he speaks of the holy hill? Holy place. Who shall stand in his holy place? Now today, you know, we are here, generally speaking, when people want to go to a church service, they bath, they shower, they put on clean clothes, they put on clothes appropriate for the situation. And it's not really in a general sense so hard to think of being holy on Sunday, right? How about tomorrow about 10 o'clock? Or about 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon? Or Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? When you're in your everyday clothes and how does holiness affect our lives then? Does it matter? Now, I'm not saying just because you've got your everyday clothes on and you're all dirty that you're not holy. That's not the point that I'm trying to make, but I'm just saying, you know, we can pick the times that we decide to be holy, and the rest of the time it doesn't matter so much. Or where we can be holy, and other places it doesn't matter. You know, the eye of the Lord looks at every place. We are called, as we profess to be a child of God, we profess to pursue holiness. I think it's a work in progress, just like our understanding. All right, holiness. So, in my mind, that is sort of the object that we're striving for, holiness. We follow peace and holiness. We pursue that. We can't do it on our own. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So let's remember that one. All right? Holiness, the quality or state of being holy. That's the object. Okay, there's a process. There's a process and there are choices involved. I would like to turn to 1 John, the first chapter there. We read of, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we can have fellowship one with another. And I'm just made to think of Christ. Verse 7 there in 1 John 1. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We have fellowship with our hearts are open, and Christ, God, can fellowship with us, and we can fellowship with him. You know, Jesus said in Revelation there, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and opens the door, I will come in unto him and sup with him and he with me. That's a relationship. That's a communication. Christ can relate, can tell us, and open our understanding, and we can allow him to work in our hearts. We can allow him to evidence those chambers that aren't as they should be. I don't think it's so terrible to discover, in fact, I'm convinced it's worse, to discover an area in my life that needs attention and deliberately refuse to do something about it. That is worse than discovering there's one there. That revelation of Jesus Christ, that's part of that very thing taking place. He's revealing things in my inner being. Okay, I didn't continue here. We can have fellowship one with another, and then it says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. That's number two, that cleansing. We need a cleansing as we object, or as we seek to attain this objective of holiness. All right, and then I'd like to get a little into some practical area. Well, I'm not sure if that's the right word or not. But some areas in our lives, you know, there's things that go on in as we have thoughts that aren't as they should be. And there's various ways. I'm not going to elaborate on that. But I oftentimes think, I hope the sisters aren't offended by this, but when I think of an individual, a pure individual, has a pure heart, I like the example of a young sister that has chosen to live a life pure and dedicated to the Lord. We all know this thing of the women are beautiful and the men are handsome. What does that mean? The women excel in beauty, obviously. And what I'm saying about that is it's something that appeals to the Lord when he sees a pure heart. But I'd like to encourage our young men. You can be just as appealing from that way of thinking as our young sisters. You know, there's something about a young life, a young body. You know, we see that even in animals. Little puppies are much more cuter than these big dogs. So that's just something that is somewhat of a natural thing, but it's there. It's there. But in the beauty of our heart, our young brethren can excel just as well as our young sisters. And I'm not talking about competition. I'm just saying that you have a choice to allow that to be a lighthouse, to shine out for Jesus. And when I think of that, who do you think I think of in the Old Testament? Any thoughts? Any suggestions? When you think of a pure young man, yes, Joseph. When he was tempted, I cannot imagine what he was up against. When Potiphar's wife was tempting him. And there's this thought, I don't know if I'm correct, but there's this thought, he was the slave. He was called on to obey his master. And his wife would have, Potiphar's wife would have been somewhat of a lord over him. Do you understand what he was up against? Their social dogma would probably have called for him to be obedient to her too. Genesis 39, we read of Joseph's answer. And he was away from everyone. He had no one of his family there. And I can't help but think he was tempted to think that the Lord had forsaken him too. Here he says, he gives an explanation to her. And he said about how his master committed all that he had into his hand. And then he says in Genesis 39, verse 9, The latter part of that verse, he says, how then could I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Chastity. Purity in conduct and personal integrity. That includes all of us. It doesn't just include, I'm not talking just to youth, but you are establishing, I can't forget the youth, because you are establishing a protocol, a criteria, a foundation in the way you think and how you respond to things in your life that will continue as you grow older. And it will have an effect on your life. But it includes all of us, including us grandpas. It includes all of us. Having a chaste thought life is going to have a positive effect on your how you relate to life. It has to do with your inner being. It has to do with your real self. What do I think? When I see something, when I read something, when I encounter something inappropriate, what is my response? Do I have the strength and the stability to have an open heart? And the Lord says, the other way with your eyes. You know, Job says he made a commitment with his eyes. That includes all of us. But it has to do with the pureness of my heart and yours. That's why Joseph really stands out to me. It didn't matter if he was behind closed doors. It didn't matter. It makes a specific statement here that there were none of the men in the house. And she took that chance to really put the pressure on him. But it didn't matter. Joseph had that commitment. How could I do this great wickedness? And he didn't say against Potiphar. He didn't say against someone else. He said against God. He was directly in communication with the Lord in the way he thought about life. So let's never think that we are somewhere that the Lord can't see what's going on in our minds. The Word of God is quick and it's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow. And it says there in the next verse is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. How in the world can I convince myself that God doesn't know what I'm thinking? I've been told by an individual that the devil doesn't know what you're thinking. I hesitate to be too firm on that one. But he knows better what you're thinking sometimes than I do myself, because he has ways of tempting and he sees the results. But God knows the thoughts. The Word of God, and when it says the Word, you know, we speak about the Word. John says in the first chapter of John, he says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. God was the Word. And you know, that's talking about Christ. We say we are Christians. I say I'm a Christian. I live for Christ. So if Christ dwells in us, that life that I now live by the faith, you know, the Apostle Paul speaks about that. His life was bound up in living for God. It didn't matter if he was making tents or if he was out on the ship. His focus was God. That ever-present, the abiding presence of God was there. Do I remember that as Joseph did there, way down there in Egypt, away from anybody that even had any idea who he was? In fact, Pharaoh didn't know anything about him. After his brothers came over there, all of a sudden they found out Joseph's family's here. His brothers are here. That was the second time they were there. He, in our mind, he could have done whatever he wanted to, and it wouldn't have mattered. Whoops, wrong answer. God would have known that. We read that from the beginning of the scripture to the end of it. And here I am with all that knowledge. I'm going to borrow a little from our Sunday school lesson. I have all that knowledge. But I don't have the understanding that God is going to bring me into judgment of how I live, how my heart is, whether it's cluttery, whether it's muddied up, whether it's wicked and deceitful, or whether it's pure. God knows that. We need to have that understanding. All right, holiness, cleansing, chastity. And the last one I have here is number 4. I know I don't have them in the correct order, but this is the 4th one that I haven't mentioned yet. And that is sanctification. And that's, I think that's what we all oftentimes experience in life, and we get it fahooted when we try to figure out why things are this way and why things are that way, and forget that, you know, God's working on us. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. I like to think of how we do with our phones. I like to go, doop, 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 done. It don't work that way. We're a work in progress. And if we figure out, I'm just going to tie the devotional in with the message. If we figure out that we've got some chambers somewhere that need some help, and we know the source and the where we can go to have something done about that, and we are willing to do it, that work in progress is sanctification. It's a washing of water by the word. It's something that we can rejoice in. Yeah, it hurts sometimes. It doesn't feel good to figure out that there's something in my life that isn't as it should be. I hurt every time that happens. I honestly, for my own self, I don't enjoy it. But have you ever had a wound in your hand or your foot? Especially the children, as they go out and they run around barefoot, and they come in and this wound is all dirty and it needs to be cleaned out. I don't think cleaning out wounds feels good. I think it hurts. But the object is healing. The object is progressing, getting on further with something that's needful for the benefit of the body, for the benefit of your physical life. The spiritual process can be the same. Let's not be discouraged. Let's just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the valley I walked through today. Thank you for those times. I know they aren't pleasant. That's all right. God knows best. May the Lord give each one grace to experience that as you go on through life and be more firmly established in your spiritual growth. Have a purer heart. There's one song I'd like to sing. I think it's song number 269. Brother Kevin, would you lead in that song? Thank you for that. The heading verse on that song is wisdom that is from above is first pure. And then it continues, peaceful, peaceable, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And that hypocrisy comes in deceitfully. May the Lord bless each one. Let's kneel for prayer.